Hello and welcome to the Cultural Order Podcast. This is episode 8, and right now we're going to be talking about what have you done. I am Mikey McFarland.
I'm Nathan McFarland.
And I'm Teddy.
All right, so Nathan,
what have you done?
I've not been editing the podcast, which is something.
Yeah, this one will probably be up in a month.
I'm really sorry for everybody, for all of you.
That would be nice, except for they're not going to get your apology for a long time now.
That is true, but at least it'll be there.
So yeah,
besides not editing the podcast, I did beat Halo 3. Thank you, Charlie, for lending us your 360.
I beat it, too.
Yeah.
Before Micah.
Yeah.
And the ending was...
Teddy.
Well, this is not a review of Halo 3.
The ending was Halo. The story was Halo.
The last level was worth it.
Yes.
The last level was awesome. nothing like I thought it would be.
Excuse me? Oh, I'm sorry. I said...
Spoiler.
No, he doesn't.
He's
coming
the
up.
Coolest, though. Like, I'd rather play him than Master Chief.
Yeah, because he can't die. Like, have you shot him while you're playing through the game? He's, like, invincible.
Plus, he's just cooler than Master Chief.
Better looking.
He's black and he's angry. How much cooler do you need
to
be?
And he's a sergeant.
And he can requisition tanks.
Yeah, he's... Okay, this is not going to be a podcast. What else have you done?
I've also played a couple different games. I played Phantom Hourglass, and I've also played...
Which, for all of you that don't know, that is the new Zelda game that came out, and it's for DS only.
It is awesome. And I've also played... I'll start with Phantom Hourglass. Phantom Hourglass is... Yeah, it is the new Zelda game. It's set... Like, in the style, is done in the style of Wind Waker, which...
It's a direct sequel.
Yes, it's actually a direct sequel. It kind of picks up where Wind Waker left off, kind of ignoring everything that happened. Like, it says, like, this happened, and then, like, everything goes back to normal. Like, there's a normal Zelda game. Everything starts out fine.
It's a good way to play it, start a game.
Yeah. And it's one of the things I really like about it is that from the first time you start, from the minute you start playing... It feels like Wind Waker.
Which was which was my favorite Zelda game.
Yeah,
personally.
It was also my favorite Zelda game. I mean, it's like you don't have to... It doesn't feel like it's on a DS. It doesn't feel like a portable Zelda. I mean, because I've played a bunch of portable Zeldas and I've played console Zeldas, and there's just something... It just doesn't... It feels like a portable game. It doesn't feel like a console game. But I've always liked them. But like Minish Cap and A Link to the Past and A Link's Awakening and all these Four Seasons or whatever, or Oracle of Seasons, whatever. They're just really good. But I've always preferred the console Zeldas.
Yeah.
But this one, when I'm playing through it, it's like, dude, the only reason this is on a handheld is because that's what they chose to put it on.
Because it's the most it's what most people have.
Well, yeah. I mean, like, it's in that sort of top-down view that the consoles, that the portable Zeldas always had, and the NES Zelda had, the first Zelda.
One thing that really impressed me with this game, because I also have it, is, like, the scope and the scale of everything, which is, like, they did not tone it down, really, just because it's on a handheld. And the graphics. The graphics are really smooth and slick, and they work really well, and Nintendo, like, they know how to develop games for their system. That's for sure.
Well, they've never had that problem. I mean, their problem has always been the first-party games are so good that the third-party games can't compete,
yes.
And no one buys them. And so nobody, and since no one buys them, no one makes them. Now that's still happening on, like, the Wii. I think the DS has kind of gone out of that. They've escaped. It's escaped that simply because it's become so popular.
One of the sad things about this game is that it is missing a couple of the Zelda staples. Like, you don't collect heart piece containers. Like, you don't collect pieces of hearts, you just collect the full containers. And you also don't do the whole trading items up for things. So, you know, like, you would take an item and you'd keep on trading it around until you got another item or heart piece or whatever. You know, how you do that in all the Zelda games.
Like, have you beaten it yet?
No.
Then how do you know there's no trading quest?
I've also listened to reviews.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, one of the things with the heart piece, the not collecting heart pieces, is I haven't felt like that's a bad thing. I felt like maybe it takes away some of that, like...
Zelda-ness?
No, it takes away some of that, like, false... Like, they make up stuff so they can give it to you as rewards. Yeah. The false rewards. Like, you beat this one mini-quest, you get a quarter of a heart piece. Yay! But, like, now it's like they have to... Now they either give you a full heart piece or they give you other stuff so that you can sell and get rupees, or they just give you rupees. And it just seems like it takes away... Like, some of the, like... I'm saying...
Yeah, that's another thing I found with this game is rupees are really plentiful.
Yes.
But also things are more expensive. Like, really expensive.
Well, it's funny. One of the things you can do is, as you're sailing around, you collect, treasure or whatever, which is... completely useless items, all they're there for is to sell them. And I had a bunch of them, and I went to, and finally the treasure dealer opened up, and I went to sell them. And it's like, oh, now I have 3,000 rupees. I can buy anything I want, and I don't have to worry about money anymore. Yay!
I can retire! Leave this life of adventuring!
No, you gotta save Zelda.
Oh.
It's like... Really, if you have enough money, shouldn't you be able to pay somebody else to do that? Like, you be the hero of time. I'm tired of it.
I'll give you the Triforce.
Not really. I'll draw it on your arm. That'll give you some power.
Also, semi-spoiler for this game, but it's heck yes, it's about time. Which is, there is no Ganondorf. As far as I can tell, in this game, there's a different main enemy.
Well, that's what happened in the last sequel. In Majora's Mask, there's no Ganondorf.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, one of the things that I really...
It's similar to Majora's Mask, there's timers in this one. Because, like, in Majora's Mask, you had a certain amount of time to do stuff. Because of the different days and stuff.
Yeah.
And in this one, you had the Phantom Hourglass. So...
Hmm. Which basically, the Phantom Hourglass, what it does is you get sand. You start out with a certain amount of time, and you have this one dungeon that you have to go through.
I'm upgrading my sand.
And the time basically means, because all this, when the time runs out, it slowly starts sapping your life, your health.
Oh.
Yeah, unless you're standing on these special areas.
Safe zones.
Yeah, safe zones. And as you go along, you defeat more monsters, you get more time, so you get farther in the dungeon. And they also make it so that, like, you have to get certain items to pass certain areas or whatever.
Another
true Zelda form. But one of the things I like about it is that you keep going back to the same dungeon, so you get to keep... So it's not like in the normal Zeldas where you visit your hometown once, and then you leave it, and then you never come back to, like, the end of the game. And this is, like... You are always coming back to come back. Like, you go, you get the next piece you need to keep going in this one dungeon. And it just makes it seem more
fluent.
Yeah, I mean, it just seems more cohesive. Because you're not just running around. You're running around. You get to run around and explore, but you are still exploring the same. You're still having that continuity.
One addition that I thought was really cool was the ability to customize your ship. Like, you can get different pieces and stuff, and you get to choose what your ship looks like and what pieces go on.
You give it wings.
I don't know.
Oh.
You might be able to.
Oh.
And also...
What about lasers?
Lasers? No, but I hear there are sharks with lasers somewhere. Not in this game, though.
Oh. I was about to say, the game just got, like, a bunch of cool points.
Well, it's got enough already. It's really impressive, especially for a handheld system. And the nice thing about a handheld system is you can play it anywhere. You don't have to be... tied to your TV.
I mean, that's the main thing about Zelda that I've always kind of like, this is awesome, but it's so long. It would be so nice if I could take it with me and play it.
Kind of like Minish Cap.
Especially the NES Zeldas and the Super NES Zeldas, where you, like, those things are huge and long and hard, and you want to be able to take them with you and not have to spend the entire time in front of a TV. But, and this is just like, it's a direct sequel. It's just like Wind Waker. It feels just like Wind Waker. It's funny.
So, yes, this game is awesome, and you should all go buy it, and if you don't have a DS, go out and buy a DS and buy this game with it.
Micah,
what have you done?
Well, I've played some Phantom Hourglass, but that's not actually what I've done. I haven't done a whole lot of that. Saturday, that was fun. We played about 5 or 6 hours of Halo 3 over here at Teddy's house on his huge screen TV. It was me, Nathan, Charlie, and Teddy, and it was awesome.
We played golf first.
Yes, we played golf first, and that was
Tiger Woods 08.
Charlie is the only one who did well at all.
Although actually twice, you and me got only one stroke under Charlie. Like, yeah. He did it much better than we did, but we managed to get only one stroke under him.
But so yeah, and probably
I won't talk much about it because we're supposed to keep our podcast family friendly.
Miss Gulbis.
No comment.
Okay, anyway. Probably the most fun we had with Halo 3 was during the Forge. The Forge, I mean, when I first saw it and first heard about it, I was like, oh, that's a pretty cool idea, but I doubt I'd ever use that because, like, that's for the people that are hardcore map makers, and how would that work on a console? But now, after playing that, okay, here's what you have to do. Load up Halo 3, open up the map Snowbound, have three other friends ready, and just start forging. It is awesome. Snowbound is this snow level with like these this buildings in the middle of it, and on the outsides as boundaries there are turrets, that laser turrets, like a bunch of them set up that as soon as you get into their range they kill you automatically. And so being ever the masochists, we set up a teleported situation where there's a bunch of teleporters outside inside the map, and there's one that's out right inside the as far as you can get into the range of the laser. So pretty much
there's a bunch of senders on the inside of the map and one receiver.
So if you go through any, no matter what teleporter you go through on the rest of the map, it always sends you right there to the one receiver, which is right in plain sight of the turrets. And as soon as you warp there, they destroy you. And with that, we evolved it into everybody get inside the building and we'll barricade up the walls and put teleporters around the walls and then take rockets and shoot each other. And then maybe put some mongeese and ghosts inside of the building. And it was awesome, and you all need to do that.
Yeah. The Forge, let me just say this, you can drop a tank on your opponent.
You can hold a teleport or a spawn point in the air.
And drop people wherever you want.
Yes, Teddy did that. He was in the monitor mode, which is like basically you look like one of the little guilty sparks. And what you do, that's where you create in the Forge. And he took a spawn point and he held it up in the air and he's like, okay, somebody die. Just keep dying until, and see if you'll spawn out into the air. And sure enough, I did.
Right over the turrets.
Right over the turrets. Twice.
And what's really fun about the Forge mode is not only, I mean, because it would be really boring if your friends are just sitting around watching you edit a map, or even if you're all four editing a map together. What's really fun is that you can transform instantly between the Forge, the editor things,
monitor.
The monitors, the editor things, and a Spartan. And so you can be, like, shooting each other.
So you're basically testing out the map you're making as you're making it. And it's like, you know what this map needs? A flamethrower.
Yeah, or you can just play it like a normal deathmatch and be able to drop whatever weapons and vehicles you want
exactly.
Wherever
that's
you want.
That's what we were doing at first.
And that's when it becomes, and that's actually, it's like, it shows skill, because you can have any weapon or any vehicle or anything that you want, and so can the other person. And so you have no excuse, like, oh, I just have a crap gun. It's like, no, you just suck. That's why you lost.
And honestly,
or the other person's just better.
I might give this game a 10 or a very high 9, And a lot of that would be due to the Forge, because without the Forge, this game is a good shooter. It's fun for a couple hours on single player, and then multiplayer is good. It's a blast, but it's not the best game ever.
It's just Halo 2 Plus.
Yes, with more weapons, better graphics, and new maps. But with the Forge, it's like you are creating your own game. They give you a first-person shooter engine.
Oh, the last level.
Huh?
The last level.
The last level is also awesome.
It's pretty sweet. Like spoiler the entire warning. No, I'm not going to spoil anything. It's just the entire first 7/8 of the last level. Okay, they're fun. Whoop-de-doo. Run around, shoot things. But then
the eighth.
The final eighth is like the end of Halo 1 with the Warthog and the driving and the dodging and the leaping and the twirling and the tumbling and the falling out and almost dying and then almost falling and almost dying and then the driving
crashing.
And then the running fast and then the thing slamming into you and you run and it's fun.
Except it's better than Halo 1.
It's better than Halo 1 because the floor is falling too. And sometimes the floor falls underneath you.
And you fall with it.
And you have to jump out very quickly.
And it doesn't
now
work.
Imagine if we were playing that on, or if somebody played that single player. You couldn't respawn. You had to go back to the very beginning spawn
Ooh,
point.
Well, not the very beginning, but the last checkpoint.
But the last checkpoint.
Yeah.
That would be pretty bad.
That would be insane.
Because, which is why I'm going to do that.
I mean, we played it on co-op, and so every other time, there would be one person, the one guy who died.
Four player, one guy in each turret, and the Warthogs are trying to keep the other Warthog from getting there.
Yeah, Bungie.
Ah!
Bungie, you lied to us. You said four player co-op. Hello, we tried. We couldn't. You have to do system link? What the crap?
Yeah, that was kind of lame.
It was extremely lame.
We tried
lame.
To play four player co-op, and you have to do system link. You can only have two people playing on one system for single player.
Which is probably due to graphics.
Yes, you can only have two people playing on single player. On story mode.
Yes. Bungie has found a way to destroy the space-time continuum.
That's why it's only a 9 out of 10.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, they still have the ability to do co-op. If we had two TVs and two 360s.
Or if you did it over the internet.
And two copies of Halo.
Or if you did it over the internet, that would also work.
Halo is the kind of game that you would have two copies of.
Yeah.
But still. It's like...
So, yes. Yeah. Halo 3 is definitely worth it, and just
it
because...
It doesn't suck.
No, it doesn't. And just because it's really hyped up beyond belief, and probably too hyped up, it's still a very good game, and you should buy it. And let's see, what else have we done?
I went on a walk yesterday.
Did you see lots of flowers and butterflies resting on flowers?
No.
Oh, that's good.
I saw lots of bugs biting me. See, I like to go exploring every once in a while, and I just sort of start walking until I see some path I don't know where it leads, and then I take it, and then I continue to take it until I get totally unbelievably lost, and then I try to find my way home. I remember the first time I did it, I came up behind the sound barriers on the freeway. I was pretty surprised. Yeah.
It's like, oh, that's not where I thought I was.
So I considered going outside and walking down the freeway because I could tell where I was because I knew the freeway. But then I'm just like, maybe I'll stick with behind the sound barriers, which was good because eventually I found a neighborhood that I went out and then was able to get home. But then yesterday I went walking and was going all over the place. I started near my friend's house. There's this path between these fences that I've always wanted. From the first time I saw it, I wanted to take it. So I went, led to the woods, walked through the woods, led to a river, crossed the river, found a back path, took the back path, came out near Old Town. Didn't want to go home yet, so I kept walking until I saw another area that I didn't know. Walked down that street, found a path that went alongside the same river, but it was a different place. Then I spent about 45 minutes going down the river, alternating between hopping across rocks and because the thing is I was right outside of a gated neighborhood.
Did you frolic?
No, I didn't frolic.
Oh.
I was right outside the edge of a gated neighborhood, so there's a big fence, so I had to take the river. But then eventually I got far enough in that they took the fence down because they figured no one would be back there that they would have to stop people from getting in. So then I got into the gated neighborhood. I knew I probably shouldn't be there, so I would just take there as long as the river was
impassable.
Were
you wearing your loser t-shirt?
No.
You walk into a gated community wearing ripped jeans and a t-shirt that says loser on it.
So I went
rocking
like that.
Down, rocking the Aviators, listening to your iPod knockoff.
I went like that until I passed the gated neighborhood. I passed the gated neighborhood, came out outside of it near Old Town, and then went back the same way I came. But then as I was going home, I realized people were spying on me everywhere I went. So I couldn't have that, so I took a very roundabout way to get home and almost got lost again.
Now, was the spy part just paranoia?
No. See, when I first started, there were these people that I was walking behind. And then when I was leaving, they were standing on a porch in the neighborhood that my friends lived in that I went through. And I was like, holy crap, they're following me.
Huh. Strange.
So after that, I was suspicious of everyone and tried to avoid all human contact, but I failed.
Because you went home.
Because I went home.
Oh, dude. I am geographically challenged, and the way I know this is that one time I don't quite remember why, but I wanted to walk to church.
You didn't want
and,
to.
Well, yeah, I walked to church. Tried to walk to
we
church.
We won't go into the details.
All right, fine.
I've walked to church before. It took me about an hour longer than I thought it would.
But well, it took me a lot longer than I thought it would too, because as I was going out of our neighborhood, I turned left.
Where
I should have turned
right.
As soon as we left, how do you get that mixed up?
We had been going to this church for like three, maybe 4 years, and going out of our neighborhood for three, maybe 4 years every week, and he turns left instead of right.
How do you get that?
This is why we have GPSs. This right here, this person.
And I didn't realize this
until 40 minutes passed.
Well, no, more like 20. But it's like,
his foot started bleeding.
Yeah, I was wearing Sunday shoes, like those non-tie slip-on ones.
You wear those?
Not anymore. That was the first week I got them that week.
Oh! They weren't broken in either.
No. And so...
You were going to walk to church and not broken...
He also never wore them again.
I didn't plan it, and...
Why were you going to walk to church? Tell me that.
Argument.
I was being stupid.
Let's just say he had... Yeah, he was being stupid to the bus driver.
Did you find out you were walking to church before or after you were 20 minutes into the walk?
He wasn't walking to church. That's the problem.
Well, but what I'm saying is, if you found out you were going to walk to church, why did you do it in not broken in dress shoes?
Because I didn't really plan walking to church.
It was kind of one of those dramatic exit things where it's like, you know what? I'm going to walk to church. And then you storm out the front door and you wait around in the front yard for a little
bit. So you take the shoes off!
You wait around in the front yard for a little bit being like,
I was walking on gravel!
That's like, yes! So you take the shoes off! It's like hiking in new hiking boots. It's like one of the stupidest things you can do.
Yeah.
So you're better off going barefoot than hiking in new hiking boots.
So the back of my feet were bloody, and I never wore those shoes again, and I will never wear a kind of shoe like that again. But yeah.
As a rule, never wear any shoe that you're not able to run at least 5 miles in. Just in case.
That might be any shoe, period.
Oh, also, Monday, we went to the driving range, which for all of those of you...
I finished the story.
No one cares.
You were bleeding on the freeway.
And on Saturday? No,
that's where you
on Monday,
end the story?
On Monday, my dad wakes me up at 7 o'clock in the morning and says, hey, get up, we're going to the DMV to get your driver's license.
Ew.
So I'm like...
Do you have your license
okay.
then?
So I get up, and I go downstairs, I'm like... Hey, there's going to be some sort of test there, isn't there? I better look that up. So I went online and started looking for information about the written
Columbus
test.
Columbus Day, so they're off, aren't
and
they?
And I went to their website, and I saw that they were closed for Columbus Day, and so I went back to bed.
That was your Monday?
I was kind of annoyed.
Yeah.
I was too tired to really care.
So have you gotten it yet?
No.
Do you plan to get it soon, then?
Yeah, I think this Saturday.
Cool. Drivers or learners?
Drivers. He already has the learners.
I just don't know what the test's going to be like.
Don't you have to get in a car with someone and drive?
Well, yeah, that part is you don't necessarily have to do that because I've had some friends that just kind of showed up and Basically, it depends on who it is that's issuing your driver's license. If they actually care about their job, then you probably do. But if they don't, then
well, they work
like,
at the DMV, so you probably have pretty good luck with that. They probably don't care.
But even still, that part I'm not worried about. Just as long as I don't like run any stop signs, and just as long as I can
crash into any cop cars,
yeah,
run over any children,
I should be okay for that. I already drive better than half the people in Virginia.
Well.
That's because
if you have a license,
that's
you drive
half
better
the
than
half.
In Virginia are a certain ethnicity.
And then
white.
The part that I'm worried about, is the written test, because it can if the written test is anything like driver's ed, it contains all manner of useless information that I forgot as soon as I finished driver's ed. Like
yes,
like what chemicals are high in your brain while you're sleeping, while you have a lack of sleep. Why do I need to know that? Why do I even have to know how to change a tire to drive? That's what I don't get. Why is that a required part of driver's ed? Like, I understand that's useful, and they probably should, but why do you need to know that to get your license?
What if you're stuck on the side of the road and you have a spare tire in the back, but you don't have, but you can't, but you have
you,
flat?
Yes, but that doesn't make you less of a safe driver.
Speaking about driving, Monday we went to the driving range.
Really?
Yeah.
That's boring.
The driving range, as in where you play golf. Well, not play golf, but you practice golf, and it's awesome. You know.
So, Nathan, what did you do on Saturday?
I also went to the driving range.
Monday? That was Monday.
Oh.
Saturday, we were at your house with
playing Halo.
And you just broke your busy player.
No, I just took a thing off.
But, Monday
so
we
the
also...
driving range, and you whacked balls with a club, right?
He's nodding. He's also dying of laughter.
That I wasn't even trying to. Nathan, you have to leave this silence in. You can't cut this silence.
Oh, come on. This is gonna
I don't
really...
even know why I'm laughing.
It's not even that funny.
No, it's not.
I
Two words.
Just your face. Robin Williams.
That's what she said.
Robin Williams is hilarious. He is freaking hilarious.
He is vulgar.
Yes.
No. Robin Williams isn't vulgar. Bob Saget. Bob
I've
Saget
never
is
seen
vulgar.
His comedy.
Yeah, America's favorite dad from Full House.
You couldn't remember the name of the show?
Dude. No, I was just pausing for dramatic effect.
It wasn't a very dramatic pause, though. So, yeah, that was pretty much my Monday.
None of you understand
that.
Why
are we talking about Robin Williams? for our listeners, we just sort of
geeked
cut
out
some stuff that you didn't want to hear, and Micah was trying to make a smooth re-entry.
We're gonna have to take a short break. We'll join you in the second section. Please come back.
Second segment, we're just going to be talking about random news articles we found throughout the week. So, Teddy, what's something interesting that you've read about?
Microsoft announced the new Zune.
Now you can laugh.
Notice the laughter now.
Microsoft and Microsoft announced the latest version of their Zune player.
They still think they're going to sell them.
What's a Zune?
Oh, he has one. I have. Yeah, we've gone over this. We did a review, sort of. But yeah, the new Zune, it's finally going to feature Wi-Fi syncing. Not Wi-Fi track downloading, which is what everyone wanted and thought, but you're going to be able to sync without a cable, which is nice.
Oh, was it today that Nathan found the only other person in the state that owns a Zune? And it was able to share files with them?
Yeah, it was funny. I was sitting in the cafeteria at Nova, and I saw this guy. He's like, dude, that guy has a Zune. What?
This must be as dumb as me.
No. Let's join forces and make a group on MySpace.
So we'll pull stupidity.
So I checked to see if he was online, because I turned on my wireless, which I never turn on, because it drains the battery faster.
And there's no one else that has a Zune.
Yeah, and there's no point to having it on. So I turned on to check to see if he was online, and oh my gosh, he's online! Wow! So I looked to see what he was listening to. He was like, oh, he's listening to rap. Maybe he'd like Fort Minor. So I shared the song with him. And he was like, hey, you got a Zune? He's like, yeah, cool. And he's like, so I shared the song with him. It's like,
hey, buddy! Why is this freak talking to me?
No. He actually...
We're Zune buddies!
He hadn't heard of Fort Minor before, and he did like it. So, but no, yeah, that was actually kind of interesting. Although,
did he give you any of his music?
No, because I had to go.
No Ludacris. No Snoop Doggy Dog.
Soulja Boy Crank That.
No.
I don't know any more rap.
I got nothing. No Half a Dollar.
Fat Boy Slim.
50 Cent.
Half a Dollar.
Anyway.
I really hope he changes his name to Half a Dollar.
That would be hilarious. I would buy a CD. No, I wouldn't.
I would talk about a CD.
I would joke about buying a CD.
Well, kind of like it now?
Yeah. Instead of, like, putting my blinders on and just walking straight past it in the CD store, I'd glance at it for a split second and laugh.
Giggle. Chuckle.
Chortle.
Snicker.
Probably snigger. Chortling is like...
No, chortling is when you snort while you're laughing. It's like... Actually, no. It's really more of a... That's a turtle.
So, yeah.
Yes.
So what's that? Just being weird?
I'd say that's a snicker. I'll stop throwing balls when Cinderella starts coming. Yes, I chose to take your comment completely innocently. Get twice your mind out of the gutter.
Wow, this is going to be a heavily edited podcast.
Zune. Okay. So they redesigned the player.
Why do you keep saying stuck over and over again?
I don't know why, but that never gets old.
Because I have one, and so I have to.
I bought a suck today.
You have the suck? So you suck?
Does he Zune?
That's what I just said.
The equivalent of that statement.
It's like It's like how Final Fantasy X-2 is the same as saying no. Hey, do you want to go to the mall later? Final Fantasy X-2. Oh man, why not? I'm busy. Oh, okay.
Not playing Final Fantasy X-2.
Well, duh. Did anyone? Well, okay.
I think 3 people in Japan did.
No. Okay. Did anyone
enjoy playing it?
No. Did anyone that had a girlfriend?
Oh well, come on. You can say that about almost any game.
True, but more true in this case.
Yeah. Yeah. Final Fantasy is a genre.
Final Fantasy equals abstinence.
World of Warcraft.
Dude. No, because a lot of girls play that game.
Okay.
that like nerdy guys.
So not only does it cut down, does it take away guys from actually developing lives, but it also cuts down on the available female pool because they're too busy playing video games.
I'm sure someone's found a date on World of Warcraft.
Yes, two Korean people got married.
Strange people. Wait, two big Korean people got married? Just period?
Met on World of Warcraft and got married.
Yes, the Korean population is rocketing again. We have two people.
My
Our
God.
Preacher is in business.
Yes, our preacher. Koreans, one preacher.
Dude, you know, like, in Russia...
This is the strangest podcast.
This is, really.
In Russia.
Moving on to a very, very far away topic. Zoom! That is pretty much the opposite. Because if you own one...
Okay, don't finish that sentence. Don't...
You're an idiot.
Okay.
Yeah, the Zoom... I keep trying to finish the list of what they did. They made it thinner, that you can wirelessly sync. They had this restriction where you could share songs.
They added a click wheel. Oh, no, wait. No, that's not a quick
touchpad.
Yeah, touchpad, whatever you want to call it.
It goes up and left and right. Yeah. But,
they also added a warning sign so that any eligible females that walk within 100 yards are instantly mentally alerted of the Zune user's presence and warned to stay away.
Dude, Lauren Barr
social
actually really likes
lacking.
The Zune. It's funny.
She has an iPod.
She has an iPod. She just likes the Zune for some reason. Well,
she likes the name.
Lauren
yeah, I know.
Barr.
Yes.
She listens to this podcast. Don't be a
Hi,
jerk.
Lauren. I love you. You're like my favorite Lauren Barr
you
ever.
We moved to Korea together.
No, Lauren, I don't love you like that. Sorry. It could never work between us. I'm just too good looking.
That has gotten a bit old.
What?
You know.
What? What's gotten old?
That joke.
What joke? Who's joking?
You. At least I hope so. Ooh, snap!
Fine, I guess you're right. Hey, Lauren, what you doing Friday night?
Probably schoolwork.
Nerd.
Says the sock owner.
Dude, there was this guy, the sock owner. There was this guy at chess, and he was doing these mathematical proofs of statements. Like, he took this statement, it's like the nerdiest thing ever, but it's so hilariously awesome. Like, he took the statement, what if this question wasn't a hypothetical? And he proved, and it led down, because, like, it was like, then he got rid of the question mark, and then, and so that equaled incorrect grammar, because you can't have a question without a question mark. And then, incorrect grammar was the answer, and the answer is 42. So that means incorrect grammar is equal to 42. And then he went through this whole thing, and then, he proved how incorrect grammar does not exist. And I said, go look at a forum post. And he said, that's not grammar. That's not even incorrect grammar. So, yeah. This is what nerds do, and we are freaking awesome. And
You're
we're back.
From the word of Nelson.
Okay. So, yeah. The Zune, enough about that.
Oh, one last thing. One of the things that they're doing that is very good... is that they're making all the updates to the UI and all this functionality updates available to the first generation users.
That is the one good thing to come out of this.
That all the only things that they're like the only things you're not getting if you don't get a Zune 2 and if you have a Zune 1 is you're not getting the hardware revisions, which is like they couldn't necessarily
Green
Transformer
is the
Zune.
Green is the new brown. And they chose a very ugly green. Also. So, yeah. Now I'm going to talk about iPods. Because I think I mentioned this on the podcast, but I got an 80GB silver iPod Classic, and that thing is awesome. I've really, really loved it since I've got it, and I'm extremely happy with my purchase. And $250 is very cheap for 80GB of awesome.
How much memory have you used so far?
I have 69 point something megabytes free.
Nice.
Megabytes? Gigabytes. So yeah, this thing, it's definitely very awesome. And if you're even considering getting one, I definitely recommend it over a suck.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much.
Oh, one more thing about the Zune.
Oh, God.
This is funny.
More editing.
They changed the shape of the touchpad, because it's a squircle.
It's a squircle.
That's
the only reason to talk about the Zune is so you can call that thing a squircle.
It's not a rounded square. It's not a circle.
It's not a squared circle.
It's a squircle.
That's the only reason to talk about the suck is for the squircle.
Okay, that's enough about the Zune. What do you like about the iPod Classic?
Everything.
Fine. What don't you like about the iPod Classic?
The missing support of DivX AIs. If it supported AVIs, it would be the ultimate, and it would be win.
That's the main thing that like Creative has going for it.
See,
with the Zen.
It doesn't matter about like waves or those kind of stuff because no one uses those anyways. It's all MP3s pretty much, and even those iTunes can convert.
What about OGs?
OGs.
Can it play OGs?
Probably not. But you can convert OGs easily.
Maybe I like OGs better.
OGs are better, which is a shame.
And it's a lot more fun to say.
And it, yes, it is.
OG Vorbis.
Oh my gosh. That's just like fun. Saying OG Vorbis.
OG Vorbis.
I mean, it's like they tried to come up with the weirdest, like, alien language for a name.
Hello, my firstborn child.
Og Vorbis, come for dinner.
Don't call me that, Dad. Call me Oggy.
No, Og Vorbis.
Okay. I want to name my daughter Mercedes. Because that's just a dead sexy name.
What if she's ugly like you?
She won't be. If she has the name Mercedes, then she can't be.
Okay.
It's 99% not proven that name your child an ugly name will affect their growth.
I'm looking at you, Brumilda.
Brumilda.
Gretchen.
Have you ever seen a pretty girl named Brumilda?
Have you ever seen a girl named Brumilda?
I probably have. I think I have. Not
well,
in real life.
Not in real life.
In fairy tales.
In fairy tales. And comic strips.
And the internet.
Well, with the internet, you're not sure if they're actually named Brumilda.
Well, yeah, and there are no girls on the internet, too, so. Oh, no, that's
there's no one on the internet. Just you two and me. I am the internet.
You suck.
I am music.
I'm music. I'm the internet.
Yeah,
hey, internet.
You have a problem with your
stop
content.
Stop using me.
Like, 90% of it is crap.
I know, but it's to weed out the non-believers.
People use you to illegally download me. Stop it.
No.
What are you? You're Og Vorbis?
I'm selling you.
I am
slavery.
Jedi.
Haha, I come with a DRM. Take that. You only get 3 days or three plays.
3 days or three
plays. Oh! Zune!
That is...
Yes, you're right, it does suck.
Well, they just removed the 3 days thing.
But it's still only three plays.
Which, that sucks.
Yeah, that's what you just said.
I have no idea how...
You and Leo would get along very well.
Who's Leo?
Leo Laporte.
Who's Leo Laporte?
You haven't heard of Leo Laporte? He's a huge internet guy. Podcasts, old tech TV stuff.
Nope, never heard of him.
You are not saved.
If you look up his YouTube rant on
saved.
The Zune, it'd be funny. Oh. But anyway, this is like I have all these, like I have 5 minutes worth of podcast, and I'm gonna have to put 50 in.
We're going to take a break, and we'll join you back in the third segment.
Some days I feel like, some days I wanna quit and just be normal for a bit. I don't understand why you have to always be gone. I get along, but the trips always feel so long. And I find myself trying to stay by the phone, cause your voice always helps me to not feel so alone. But I feel like an idiot.
Alright, welcome to the quote-unquote third section. Sorry, but we're not really gonna have a third section today, because we've run out of time again, because we don't know how to manage time. And so we're going to leave you with a quote of the day, and then hopefully see you next time Nathan puts a podcast up.
Okay. The quote of the day comes from an anonymous online source, and it's, "Friendship is like peeing on yourself. Everyone can see it, but only you get the warm feeling that it brings."
Come back home, you know, the place where you used to live. Used to barbecue up burgers and ribs. Used to have a little party every Halloween with candy by the pile. But now, you only stop by every once in a while. I find myself just filling my time with anything to keep the thought of you from my mind. I'm doing fine, and I'm planning to keep it that way. You can call me if you find that you have something to say. And I'll tell you, I want you to know it's a little f***ed up that I'm stuck here waiting. At times debating, telling you that I've had it with you and your career. Me and the rest of the family here singing, "Where'd you go?
I miss you so."